Welcome, everybody, to the Roman Atwood podcast.
Hold on, I want to try this real quick.
Get comfortable, dude. Get comfortable. We've got Shay Carl in the house and his wife, Colette.
Hey.
We've got my wife here, Brittany. And this is our first double date episode. I've been wanting to do this with a couple for a while now, dude. We're 13 episodes deep.
Lucky 13.
So you're our first double date episode, and I think it's going to be a good one.
I hope so.
And I want to start with this question because I just thought of it right now. Do you guys fart in front of each other?
Oh, I heard you guys talking about this.
Is this just a us thing or do you guys?
It's not very often.
Okay.
I mean, we've been married 20 years.
Yeah.
So
there's really nothing that we couldn't do.
Yeah.
So you could just,
wouldn't be awkward.
You could rip one off. It'd be normal.
It really
could,
wouldn't be awkward.
God, I want to get to that level.
But we don't.
I want to.
Like, we don't. We still try to
listen,
be like,
if you just put in a lot of effort and a lot of time.
I still want him to like me a little bit.
Right? Well,
y'all at 20 years. Congratulations, mm-hmm. first of all.
Thank
We're at 13. So I've got 7 good years to work up one of those.
Nice.
I love how that was the first leading question.
I know. Right. I just thought couple.
You have to break the ice.
Yeah, I have to break the ice. Welcome to Ohio.
Thank you very much.
I know we've come out and visited you guys in Idaho. Beautiful out there. So much prettier than Ohio.
I don't know. It's just a different atmosphere. Yeah. It's really green here. It's
the rolling fields are amazing.
Well, we have like another month or two of green and then it's just
fall.
Nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad.
Belching though. This girl can belch louder
She's
than
got the,
you know Barney you. On The Simpsons?
Thank yeah. you.
Can I tell that?
Barney?
Yes, you can.
Barney.
Not ashamed.
Oh, Barney. Is that a Barney?
You know Barney.
He's like the guy who's at the bar.
Duff beer.
Okay. All right.
Hook it to my veins.
That's me.
No. That's you?
Dude, this.
I don't drink the Duff beer, but I can belch.
Show
like
him.
Just rip it right now.
I can't do it on command.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Can't
but if
do
I'm
it.
Drinking sparkling water.
We're sitting here with one of the OGs, dude. I know I've been called an OG, but you are an OG. I'm way after you. What year did you actually start all this?
I mean, we started the channel in 2006, and
is
then
that, that's when YouTube started.
Yes.
Yeah,
you were that early.
I mean, I remember
you sly dog.
Dang. I was working at a granite countertop shop, and I remember seeing the purchase where Google bought YouTube. And I'm like, these three dudes just sold this little idea they had for $1.6 billion or whatever. And I'm making 13 bucks an hour making granite countertops. I'm like, I want to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't start making daily vlogs till 2009, March 2009. But before that, we were doing little skits. I was wearing my wife's unitard dancing around the living room.
Naturally.
You guys were such an inspiration. 2009.
That's the year I graduated.
That's the year I
really from high school.
That's when we started our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So you guys were already 3 years deep into the YouTube world.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's when we started daily vlogging and that changed everything for us. Because at first it was like, we're just making, you know, our first check. I saw your video the other day. It's like your first check you get, it's like a couple $100. I'm like, whoa, you can actually, that's grocery money.
That's,
I'm like, if we can make $180, what if we could make $1,800 a month?
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dang, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I still remember, like, after the first month of daily vlogs, looking at our AdSense and being like, Colette, get in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, look. She's like, is that how much we're going to make? I'm like, I think so.
That's the estimated amount. It's always the exact.
CPMs on Google Ad Rev. Yeah.
But it wasn't just about that. It was like, wait, I love doing this, and I'm actually able to make money doing it. That was the kicker for me because my dad hated what he did. Mm-hmm. And I always felt bad for him. So every time Shay was like, let's try this. Let's do this. I'm like, okay. Whatever makes you happy, I want you to do.
So and granite countertops, what were you doing at the time?
I was staying at home with the kids and I worked at the gym. I was a fitness instructor teaching spin and kickboxing and things. And then once I had the kids, it was like, still need to make some money. So I babysat. I run a little daycare out of my house.
But you also worked at a jewelry store. She sold jewelry, too.
I did. That was when we only had one kid.
Okay, so you've got a wide range of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Totally.
Awesome. And at what point were you able to quit everything, both of you, and focus on the vlogs?
When we started doing dailies.
That's when it just
surpassed.
It does surpass pretty quickly.
Yeah. It was like we were making just a little bit. I was running my own granite countertop business. We had just had our third kid. We just had Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, was doing this YouTube grind. And I'm like, what if at that time, everybody was starting a second channel. It was like, you can't upload too much on your main channel where you're going to, you know, your audience is going to hate you. So it's like, you got to start a second channel. Now that's for all the other content. So I said, what if I made a video every single day for the last year of my 20s? Like, I kind of went through this pre-midlife crisis where I'm like, I'm going to be 30 years old. What could I do to celebrate this last 365 days of me being a 20-year-old? So the day I turned 29, I had this idea and I said, let's make a video every single day this year.
And all of your friends said, no, you're going to kill your audience. They don't want to see you every day. You're going to destroy your audience.
This was before daily vlogging.
Oh,
this
Nobody, I mean, not that there was one other guy who did it, but he was just a single guy and it was just like 3-minute vlogs that he would vlog himself at work every day. And that's kind of what initially gave me the idea. But as far as like a family hanging out, making videos every day, nobody was
a real reality show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where, you know, we were in charge of all of the content. There was no producers or cameramen or editors or anything like that. It was all up to us.
Yeah, and at that time, I would have been just trying to produce one video a week, which was kind of the algorithm at that time. It's like, just, it's
like, of you drinking Jack Daniels and throwing up.
Hey, maybe I thought we forgot about that stuff.
It's going viral.
It's going back.
Put that back in the vault.
That was like one of my first YouTube videos. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we've come a long way.
Have you deleted old videos? Like, have you gone back and said, I don't like that, I'm taking it down?
Yeah, man, I used to do some crazy sketch comedy and I loved it. Still to this day, it's like, that's who I was at the time. But yeah, we removed a lot of stuff. I wish I didn't almost. Like, I wish, you know, everything's still on the internet, right?
Right.
It's like, it's pointless for me to delete them. But it was kind of like I was in a place where I was, it's not who I am anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm focused on my family now. So that's why we did it. But look at like where I'm at now, just let it rock, dude. Who cares?
It's just your story. That's what I always kind of thought. It's like, that's just part of the fabric of my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
all part of this, the evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps create your tomorrow, you know? Whoever you are today, it's like building tomorrow. So
that's what I always try to do when I get stressed out or I get in my head. It's, you try to zoom out and look at the timeline of your life. It's like, where have I been? Where am I going? Where do I want to go?
Yeah.
And I think it's good to like embrace those things that maybe you're not proud of or you're not. Yeah, you're allowed to not be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's okay to evolve and to change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love this girl told us one time, she was just like breaking down, like we were in a really rough time in our life. And she was like, if you looked at your life in the future as a timeline, this super rough patch is like this little red mark. That's it on this whole timeline. Helps put you into perspective of like how this is very temporary. Like this moment you're in, this depression, whatever it is, it's very temporary. If you could just see your life as a timeline, be like one little speck.
You know what helps is that new James Webb telescope where it's like we're seeing these galaxies upon galaxies. And they're like, is there extraterrestrial life? They're like, yes, of course. There's like probably 100% chance of it now.
You know what drives me nuts about that?
Aliens?
First of all, fascinated with the idea of aliens and outer space and just how vast this place is and how we're just floating on this little rock in the middle of nothingness. What drives me nuts is everything on the internet's fake, 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 fake. But one picture of these gleaming galaxies, everyone's like, oh my God, it's so awesome. Why is nobody like, obviously Photoshop. Everyone's buying it, dude.
You're right. You're exactly right. Because there's so much misinformation, but we see a picture of all these. We're like, whoa, look at all these galaxies.
Yeah. We want to believe.
Yeah. You shoot a photo right now of a real alien. Fake.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You put something that my buddy can make on Photoshop right now. Oh my God, it's so epic. Look at that star.
Yeah.
Why? Well,
see, that's what I'm afraid of the future, like AI, artificial intelligence, that's creating content. It's creating these pictures. There's this software now. It's like a wolf running with a strawberry snow cone in the mountains. And this AI is like, bam, and just creates this thing. Like art. It's like, how are we going to know what's real in the future? Like everything can be automated or, you know, like.
Maybe it's all real.
Like, are you real?
Maybe it's a different reality.
I sometimes ask Colette if she's a robot.
It's wild.
I mean, wait, what?
Okay, so you created all this while raising children, which is even more inspiring for us because we, you know, got kids too.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a whole nother teeter-totter of balance and the daily vlogs for us now, the kids are watching them constantly. Yeah. I walk in the house, I'm like, oh God, my voice, dude. And I hear my voice and it's like, and then I'm like, oh my God, I remember this. Yeah. I remember when we went there and it's like this crazy journal on video. And I can't wait to watch them when I'm an old man.
I yeah. know. I think about that all the time. Like in 30 years from now, when you just sit down late at night once, yeah. you know, and just like, oh my heck, look at, it's all right there.
And all your kids get to watch yeah. you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a wild.
Isn't that feel good though? When you come in, like your kids are watching the videos that you made. I'm like, okay.
It is cool.
I'm doing okay. For a
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty yeah. cool. And then, dude, you were way ahead of it. And then you, tell me how you created Maker. Like, this is a big yeah. one.
Yeah.
This is a big one. And this was also another example of you being ahead of the curve.
So when I first started, you know, making YouTube videos, I made friends with some of the early OGs, I guess, Lisa Nova, Philip DeFranco, Cassim G, the like, Charles Trippy, all these folks, I Justine, a lot of people that I just, you know, have known for 15 years mm-hmm. or so now. So the way that Maker started is we had a brand deal that was for this movie that they were supposed to get a bunch of YouTubers together to promote this movie. So I flew out to Los Angeles, stayed with Danny Diamond and Lisa at their house, and we just all worked on each other's videos together. We had to make like 5 different pieces of content mm-hmm. that goes on 5 different channels. So we all helped shoot, edit, hold boom poles. Like she was my cameraman. Mm-hmm. You know, we just had this little camera, but they had actual equipment, you know, like lighting and microphones yeah. on poles and yeah. sandbags and stuff like that. So it was like, this is way easier to make stuff if we all just help each other, because there's different levels of expertise among, you know, each of these people. So it's like this collaboration of rising tide lifts all ships. We had this idea as we're, you know, working on this brand deal. It's like, what if we got together and started a business where we just help each other make content, and then we can push to each other's audiences, and it's like, we'll promote you, you promote me, and then we'll just all rise together. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and at the time we started a channel together. It was called The Station, and it was one of, I think at the time, the fastest channel to hit 1 million subscribers at the time. Yep. You know, it was like a month or two and it hit 1 million subscribers. But that was getting pushed from Shane Dawson, yes. Philip DeFranco, Cassim, me, Lisa Nova, yeah. Dave Days. All these people were all pushing into this one channel. And by everybody pouring into that one cup, it overfilled and poured out to all of us. You know, mm-hmm. So it was literally like a real collaboration where it helped all these people. And after 4 or 5 years, I mean, we moved to LA. We yeah. lived in Idaho. We have 5 kids, as you mentioned earlier. We moved out to Los Angeles, moved the family out there, and just started mm-hmm. this company.
And for context, we were talking about like when we first started making money on YouTube, like we were just barely making money.
Yeah.
And Shay's like, hey, babe, want to move to LA? I'm like, do I? I don't know.
Bless your heart.
Didn't you use you had like a sponsorship and you used that money yes. to get to LA, right? I think I remember you telling me this.
Can I say the
it's
name
like
of
A1
the brand?
A1 Steak Sauce,
A1 Steak Sauce.
That's
pretty good. Favorite. I love it.
Stop.
I had never had A1 Steak Sauce. We do this brand deal. I'm like, this stuff's actually good. I love A1 Steak Sauce. But yeah, that was the first brand deal. We did this. It was so silly. They did this campaign called Sing for Your Beef. And we had to get all these people to make these songs about singing about yeah. steak or whatever. But yeah, that was the money that we used to rent our apartment. Because yeah. LA rents like $3,000 a month. And we're like, what?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It was crazy. Wow. And it felt crazy. But at the same time, it was like, heck yeah. Let's yeah. do it.
So you guys build up Maker and then you sell this thing. And I've heard like, I don't know if you've ever talked about this, but I've heard like 1,500 different numbers that Shay Carl walked away with.
Oh my gosh.
And... and then once you sold Maker, it's like, I didn't see Shay Carl that much anymore. It's like, this dude's...
We moved back to Idaho. Yeah, thanks, LA.
Thanks, peace. A1. Thanks, A1 Steak Sauce.
I mean, we kept making stuff, but it was... Yeah, of course. I mean, it changed our lives.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't in a way. Because yeah, the day that
totally
the
didn't.
Deal was done, like, I never believed it. I was like, you know, the executives were there. There were other bids from other companies. And it was just like a dream come true of a dream I never knew I even had.
Yeah, you build up a company and then you get this.
Sell it to Disney, you know.
Right.
And so the day that it all went through after all the paperwork and signing everything and just, I mean, it was months and months and months.
Like, yeah.
So how much did you walk away with?
$100,000.
More than 10 mil.
Are we going to say this?
You don't have to say the same number. Upper 10?
I'll say it was sufficient.
I'm so nervous, dude. We're talking years ago,
It
bro.
Was sufficient for our needs at
sufficient
the time.
Sufficient for our needs.
It was more money than we'd ever seen.
I think it's more than it is.
So. It wasn't.
You know what? I've heard 1,000. That's what I'm asking you.
It's less than 10 million.
Less than.
Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Less than 10.
Yeah, we heard more than 20 million. So.
No. I've heard she made $30 million.
Yeah.
She made $29 million.
I mean, that was. I want to keep the. It could have been more. I can't remember. She does all the books.
I know.
No, it's fair. Okay. So.
The penny. No, just kidding.
And then the odd thing as an outsider is, what did Disney do with Maker?
Destroyed it.
It just. Was Maker purchased to just remove this potential threat?
Well,
I don't know what I can say or how much I should say.
Yeah,
but in hindsight, I think that.
I think that too.
Yeah.
Like they got the money to just.
Yeah, you kids be quiet over here. You're getting too much attention.
It's like if we release this new soda that's killing it, well, Pepsi will just buy us.
Right.
And ditch it
yeah.
so that they remain on the shelf, right?
Yep.
So maybe that was the move.
If I had to go back, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love Disney for the record. Love Disney.
Oh, come on.
It just
come on, get over it.
Oh, come on, Little Mermaid. Come on.
I think like, I love
Daddy,
Disney.
I love him.
Disney from the 90s, I love Disney
love
now.
Disney,
I'm like,
dude.
There you go. Yeah.
Disney is just wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid. I feel like they'll kill us if we say bad things. Can Disney do that? Oh no, cut that part out. Bob Iger, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Jake Paul's on our side.
Shay Carl calls out.
Disney comes at us.
calls out Disney.
No, but
Shay
really,
Carl versus Disney.
We were disappointed in how they took it. Like they didn't continue
they didn't
the
carry
vision.
On.
They didn't carry on the vision.
Well, it almost doesn't matter because you created this baby and you sold it. And which is, you know, most people start a company for that reason. They want to sell it one day and... Sounds like you
and watch it grow still.
You made $100 million and you.
I want to say that was great. Yeah. Like the day that we got the money in the bank, I'll tell you this. Like the day that
did it all hit at once.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And Colette calls me and I was like out running or something. She's like, "Hey, that money came in," and I'm like, "It did?" I'm like, "How much?" And I'm like, "Are you serious?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Whoa."
Pack your bags, babe.
Well, no. Then we're like. What's for dinner? She's like, I'm making teriyaki chicken.
Because that was probably dragged out for
a
long time.
We had this
huh?
moment of like gratitude. Because that's what, you know, we make it a point to just be grateful for everything that we get. And then it was just like, okay, well, what's next? Like, what's for dinner?
By the way, this is a long timeline we're talking about. This is years of grinding, years of sacrifice from the children, from moving to a different city. This is not like you guys just got a fat check. This is a serious, hard work, business building ethics that became success. For everybody listening,
it's
like there's a massive sacrifice here that nobody will ever see or understand.
Yeah.
Even as daily vloggers, it's like we still constantly are like, how did we ever do that?
Yeah.
Like seriously, I still don't know. All right, guys, we got to pause and throw some love to one of our sponsors today, Manscaped. Manscaped's products is the best in man's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's performance package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code ROMAN. At manscaped.com. The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, it's a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their lawnmower, 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. It's even got a 4K LED spotlight on it. You can do this in the dark. I have personally used the weed whacker, the nose hair trimmer. I use it constantly. The worst part of getting old is nose hair. It drives me nuts. So I personally use the weed whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with code ROMAN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ROMAN. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, guys, let's get back to the podcast.
I don't know.
One day at a time.
You did it. Not
I don't know. I just followed you.
It's the 10,000 hours. It's like you become an overnight success after you work your butt off every day for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just us. We had so many people at Maker Studios. That, like the selling of Maker to Disney and everything, that's all cool. And that's a cool part of the story.
But the best part of it for us was the relationships we made.
Oh my
like
gosh.
The people in the prop department, like the people doing the lighting. Like we were all buddies. Yeah. There was, you know, 200 of us who were always working on different stuff, music videos, podcasts, animation, you know, merchandise, all the stuff that YouTubers and creators, you know, different streams of revenue. Like we had our fingers in all of that. And there was a lot of people involved and we've made some lifetime friendships from that that we still talk to.
Right. It was so beautiful. And if you can imagine like the early days of what Hollywood would have looked like when movies just started being a thing. And it was just so fun.
We got to film like, there one time, right?
At Maker?
We did with Bart Baker, right? Was that at Maker?
Yeah.
Sam Macaroni.
Yeah,
it was legit. All these different rooms and sets.
People are just busy. That's like in hindsight now, I wish we wouldn't have sold it because I would much rather still be in that experience with those people creating stuff that we loved, totally uncontrolled by any corporate oversight, than have the money that we made from selling the company. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think we'd be making that money that we made from the sale of the company today if we had just kept going.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Or more.
For sure.
Yeah, you made the wrong move.
I know. Honestly.
I'm sorry, bro.
Honestly.
I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Well, imagine how much bigger YouTube got since you've sold, right?
Like,
there's a whole new genre of numbers that we can't even comprehend.
I mean, there was a time where the network was averaging 1 billion views a month, you know, and I think these companies were like, how are these kids doing this?
Yeah, on a fraction of a budget.
Yeah, of what their production
that Hollywood
are.
Would have. Yeah, it's such a crazy, crazy story. Okay, so you get this big old check, which is like, congratulations. Seriously,
thank you.
I mean, as a YouTuber, that's a dream right there.
It was
that company, and you could choose to just call it quits, retire. You go back to Idaho. What's the plan there?
You built that house, right?
You guys continued to
built that or bought it?
We didn't. We bought and remodeled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know you ran that internet up there.
Yeah,
know that. So you continue to film for a while, yeah?
Yeah. We moved back. I mean, I think we just wanted to be back with family again. Yeah. You know, we were in LA for 5 years. We had all 5 kids there at the time. We wanted to be home. And so we moved back and we bought our dream house and
beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful property.
Yeah, property and just we wanted to stretch our legs. Like my poor dog, you know, lived on a balcony in our apartment with puppy pads. I was thinking about this last night, like our first Great Dane Malachi. It was like we're on the 3rd floor of this apartment building. So like you can't take a Great Dane out in the middle of the night.
That's
so just let him out on this little 8x10 foot deck. So yeah, going back to Idaho, it was our heritage. It's where our family is. And
those are big dumps for a puppy pad.
That's it was the
big dog, bro. Would you just drop them off the balcony?
So I told you I couldn't sleep last night. Like this is what I'm thinking about at 3 a.m. I'm like, remember when I asked to clean up those puppy pads? Oh man, those were good times.
I didn't even know it was legal to have a Great Dane in an apartment. That's like you gotta have an extra bedroom, bro.
I don't know if we're supposed to.
Breaking a lot of rules here today, bud. Family's beautiful. Everyone's like, gosh, I don't even remember the last time we came out there. I think we were talking like 5-6 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Been a long time.
Yeah, 6-7 years.
Cora wasn't born.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to see like all the relationships we've had. That's what this podcast has been so far, is like our close friends on YouTube and family. And it's just really wild to get so close with these people you did YouTube with.
Well, we have so much in common. Like, think of the career paths that we've both taken. Like, understanding and having empathy for what it's like to be so vulnerable in front of so many people, you know, especially with your family and your relationship and your children and your house and all that stuff. Like that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to be that vulnerable in front of that many people. And so I think we have that bond because of, you know, these videos.
We can relate to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have been doing my countertops though.
I would love to.
Dude.
I miss that. And I want to go
fitness
back.
Fitness coach.
Heck yes.
Y'all chose the wrong career path. I'm telling you. So you're back. When does YouTube slow down? Because we have quit YouTube before. We've taken breaks. We've you guys obviously took a break. Was that after payday, or you wrote it for a while and then you were like, you know what, we could just chill for a while? Like what was the next step? Like where'd you guys go?
We took some time off.
I started skiing a lot.
I mean, the elephant in the room is that we really had a struggle with our relationship. Like totally. we had a situation that was some poor decisions that I made.
Was there relationship issues before that? Or no? You guys were solid.
I mean, we've always been solid, but I mean, every relationship has issues.
Whoa, bud. Whoa.
I'm shaking my head yes, and he's like, no.
What are your issues?
We don't even fart around each other. Are we even together?
See, it's you pent doing? All up, man. Are you got to let that out or it's going to explode.
Are we even married? Yeah, so I mean, that probably is the big elephant. And I don't know how much you've spoke on this.
We haven't. I mean,
you haven't.
Yeah.
I've made a video.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are exclusive here with Shea, Carl, and Colette on their relationship status.
We're tight now.
After this commercial break.
Prime by Jake and Logan Paul.
So I remember all this going down. It was like sheer panic on the internet.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, dude, with the internet, you don't even know what's happening, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how deep you want to go, but what happened? Because it's been years. You guys are together.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so let me just, I'll say my piece. And I've thought about this a million times. Because what happened at the time brought a lot of shame on me. You know, like I don't want to like rehash all of the details and stuff. But when we moved back after selling, you know, Maker, and we got back to Idaho, I feel like I lost purpose. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you kind of have these expectations of like, what do I want to accomplish in my life? And I remember, you know, growing up as a kid, like, you know, my friend's dad would take us out water skiing. And I remember as a kid, like, I want to have a boat to be able to take my friends and my kids' friends out. I want to be able to have these, you know, material things so that I can give people these experiences. I had this really great scout leader who would just, we'd go out on his RV and he would just let us take his jet skis. I'm like, this is such a cool guy. I want to be like that when I grow up. And so when we sold Maker and, you know, we'd made good money just off of our YouTube videos, I kind of got, and this sounds crazy, but I kind of hit this place where it was like, I achieved everything that I ever imagined that I could achieve. And then I hit this wall of like, and now what? You know, it's like, what do I just keep making more money? Do I keep, like, what is the point of all of this? Am I fulfilled? Like, and that's really when I started to feel this existential crisis of like, what happens after we die? Like, what is the point of this life? You know, which I know, like, we are faithful in our church and we're, you know, really involved in our church community. But I, you know, I struggled with alcohol. And so, you know, I made some poor decisions one night when I was intoxicated and those messages came out on the internet. And I was just, we were talking about this on the flight here. And I want to thank some of my good friends because the day that it happened, when that happened and those messages became public, I was the worst day of my life. You know,
really?
Imagine everybody you've ever known and cared about knowing the very worst thing that you've ever done. Like your biggest, deepest, darkest secret that you don't want anybody to know, not even like your closest friend.
Yeah.
It's like you're so ashamed inside. Now imagine your grandma, your kids' friends,
or
your mom,
members,
your church members. You know, that all of these people that you know, they think you're a certain way and then you made this horrible thing, this horrible decision, and now everybody knows about it. And I was, I could have crawled under a mountain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude.
It was, and I tried to. Like, I escaped. Like, that night when that came out, I want to give a shout out to my good friends. Philip DeFranco was there. Cassim G was there. Hi, I'm Ron was there. Ronald Erickson. I had some of my other friends. Derek and Danny were there. Oh, man, there's a lot of emotion coming up.
Dude.
Right now.
Yeah, dude. Right.
Anyways, we had an apartment in LA and I kind of just lost it and I threw my phone, I punched a mirror and I just walked out of the apartment. And they're all just sitting there and they thought I just needed to get some steam off and walk out.
They didn't know that this has come out yet.
No, they did. Okay, we were all sitting there talking about it.
Got it.
You know, and I'm just like, what do I do? I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. What have I done to my family?
Does
like,
Colette know these were coming out?
My poor wife. She did, because I told her before they became public.
Cool.
Like, after it happened, I was like, babe, I got to tell you something. Like, something happened the other night, and I'm really embarrassed about it. So she knew before I didn't know they were going to become public.
Yeah.
You know, but I told her probably a week or two prior to them coming out public. So that was, you know, like my...
You're already trying to deal with all of that.
My angel of a wife.
Yeah, dude.
you know, to put her through that and to that embarrassment. And there's nothing I can say but own up to it. It was my fault. I did a horrible thing. And I spent the last 5 years trying to rebuild our relationship with my kids, with my mom and dad, with my wife. And it's been hard. It's been a struggle.
Yeah. Was the messages, was it just the messages? That's it.
Yes.
And it was
I never even met this person.
Yeah.
Never met this person. It was DMs.
It's like you're drinking, you're DMing. Yeah.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
And this was,
I thought it was blown way out of proportion.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he sent some, as an outsider, I'm like, yeah, he sent some messages, but dude, like, it doesn't seem like it's as bad as everyone's making it sound,
yeah.
Right? But it sounds like it was just horrific.
I mean, yeah. I don't want to minimize what I did by saying, but I've had a lot of my buddies say that. They're like, dude, you just sent a girl some dirty messages at 3 a.m. when you were drunk. Like, what's the big deal? I'm but.
Yeah, but it's not who you are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's completely normal for plenty of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us.
Right. I mean, and not to say that like, oh, I would never. Because everybody has their weaknesses. Everybody has breakdowns. Everybody has low moments. Everybody makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like it's common
our own mistakes.
Yeah, our own mistakes. You know, that's the only way we grow. That's the only way we learn. And we've talked about this. Like what we went through was so publicly humiliating and embarrassing. But we look at it as like everything happens for a reason and everything is just like it's supposed to be. So that maybe in turn we can share a message of how you can overcome these things. Because we were close to divorce after this all happened. I mean, there was lawyers involved. Like she left. She left the house.
Who got the maker money?
Who, oh my gosh.
You can have the kids.
You can just want the dog.
I want the maker money.
I want the dog. That's all I care about. I want Zeke.
So it was that bad.
Yeah. So you moved.
And I feel like I'm getting real personal here. But
we're gonna go down
on the side of this podcast has already shown an incredible amount of bad stories based on alcohol. Almost all of them have been based around alcohol.
Oh, yeah. It's poison.
Legal poison.
Yeah.
Promoted poison.
Promoted.
Yeah. We promote alcohol. Yeah.
More than anything.
More than anything.
You're weird if you don't drink. Right?
So was it more about these messages on your end or was it more about the drinking?
Well, I think it's just a combination, you know. It's hard. It's hard to watch somebody you love struggle with something. Mm. And then to have them do things that you know is not in their nature. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that's not who he is. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what has kept me solid and our relationship. Not solid. It hasn't been solid forever. But, like, the foundation that we have is solid. And I know that's not who he is. And I know that when alcohol became a thing for him, that was rough. I mean, it was rough in itself. And I think people, you know, we vlogged and we would, you know, show our lives, but we're not going to show all the crap. Yeah. You know, we're not going to show the major struggles that we face. And in the beginning, it wasn't a huge problem. But when it became a problem, you know, now the internet knows. And it was almost like, for me, we had kind of been struggling for a few years and not enough that it was like, oh, there's horrible things happening. But it was just like, oh, there's this dynamic.
Little
that
distance.
Yeah, a little distance. And that naturally made it like explode, but
it was like the cherry on the
it's a gift of crisis.
Yeah,
you know that's what you know. I've been through a lot of therapy, and I participate in Al-Anon, which is a recovery group for those that are loved ones that are addicted to substance, and it's been kind of a terrifying but beautiful process for both of us. Like the things that I've learned and gained from this whole thing, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but I wouldn't take it back.
Yeah, that's amazing. Incredibly inspiring in a world full of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you can actually teamwork it.
Yeah.
Through it. Our only real problems was alcohol. Yeah. That's it.
It's the only time we would fight or argue.
It's been about 3 years, but yeah, we were trying to just anything to better our home, our family, and alcohol was at the top of the list. And it's so hard to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
well there's so much shame wrapped up in, alcohol, you're an alcoholic. It's like, oh, there's so much shame wrapped in alcohol, which is so weird. It's such a contrast between our society. Everybody drinks.
Everyone
if you don't
has
drink,
fun.
You're weird.
Right.
They're in all the commercials. Where's the drinks? Cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Why don't you drink? You know, like, are you, what are you, Mormon or something?
Yeah,
you know, it's like all that kind of stuff. And then the second that you're addicted to this thing that's caused, that is created to addict you to it, you're a horrible person.
Wow. Why do you
it's
drink?
Like, do this. Why don't you drink? Do this. Watch this commercial. Go to this thing. What? You have a problem with this?
Right.
What is your, ew.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to create a demon. Then once you're a demon, they don't. Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly. Alcohol is poison. And listen, I get it. People are like, well, I like to have some red wine with dinner. Okay, sure, fine. But just know and at least be willing to say, like, this is actual poison.
Yeah.
This will make you unhealthy. This will make you make bad decisions, say things you don't mean to say. Mm-hmm. There's story upon story. It's a tale as old as time of things that people have done they regret while they were drunk.
Yeah, and it's crazy if you talk the way we're talking right now. We're just old and boring. We're just old and boring, bro.
Dads.
Yes.
But the truth hurts.
It doesn't hurt. It sets you free. But it does hurt in a sense. But it's like, and there's no judgment. I'm not saying this like if you drink, you're a bad person. Obviously, because I've drank plenty.
Right.
And, you know.
Have you kicked alcohol?
I will struggle with alcohol my whole life.
Really?
I mean, I go to AA. We go to this Al-Anon meeting together. As they say in AA, don't drink today. Just focus on today.
Get through a day at a time.
That's a day at a time. Because I have a very addictive personality. Mm. It's like if I run marathons, I'm going to run 5 marathons. I'm going to qualify for the Boston Marathon. If I'm going to drink alcohol, I'm going to drink, you know, it's like.
If I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to lose 100 pounds.
I'm going to lose 112 pounds. It's like I need to find this middle ground in my life where it's like I can just be steady because I can be very polarizing.
Yeah. Like, is anybody in your family, dad, mom, anybody?
No. None of my. Even the next generation. But what I know is that my great-grandparents drank a lot. And from what I hear, it's like a 3-generation thing where it will come down 3 generations. Mm. But my parents never drank. My grandma never drank. But my grandma's parents were heavy drinkers. And so, and I don't, there's no blame on like, well, if my great-grandparents hadn't done it, then
it's
I would.
It's on them, bro.
Yeah.
It's on them.
Thanks a lot, ancestors.
They're the ones that started it.
Yeah, we all have to be accountable for our own choices and decisions.
It's a time and a place, dude. Yeah. Through my 20s,
Have you tried any IV drips or anything for like addiction?
No.
Well, like NAD?
Yeah, like NAD is like something that I've been trying just for, I mean, they say it's like the fountain of youth.
Look at her, bro.
It's also they started using it on addicts.
Oh, really?
To get them sober. It was like a monthly IV drip. But my trainer recommended it because I was so addicted to food. I like couldn't cut sugar. And it was like the first month I did with sugar, I tried this NAD stuff and it was really cool.
I'll have to check it out.
That is supposed to be good for that stuff, but I don't know.
I'm like, you are the fountain of youth.
Well, thank you. We'll see you in about 20 years if it actually works.
Dang. So this is something you think about every day. You know, Steve-O was on here and he said that it is a lifelong fight.
It is.
Yeah.
To be clean, sober.
Yeah.
I have not dealt with any of that. So I can't relate.
It is a scary thing. And I want to say to people that have addiction and are stuck in addiction, it is one of the hardest things you'll ever overcome or just deal with for the rest of your life. Like it is, I've done a lot of hard things in my life and the battle that I've had with alcohol is probably one of the hardest. And it's,
it's incredible because all I can think of is all the commercials of how great alcohol is.
Yeah, it's not, it's horrible. Yeah. It destroys lives, it destroys people, it destroys relationships. It causes fights within friends and dishonesty. And
yes. Let's lighten it up a little.
Did I just strangle the mic? Are we okay? Can I strangle the mic? I'm good. I'm strangling the mic. Okay.
Let me lighten it up for you. You lost a bunch of money on NFTs. All right, guys, quick shout out to our sponsor over at Ridge Wallet. You guys have heard me talk about Ridge in the past on the vlogs. I love the product. I got one right here. It's loaded up. I mean, they make all kinds of cool stuff now. They have the heavy duty key chain. They have the carbon case for your AirTag. When you lose your wallet, you can find it with an AirTag. These guys are also doing a Bronco, like a brand new Bronco giveaway. With every dollar spent on their website before September 30th, you'll be entered to win a brand new upgraded Ford Bronco. Or $75,000 if you prefer cash. That's a freaking awesome giveaway. Holy smoke. I mean, this thing's sweet. The wallet holds up to 12 cards plus room for cash. You can see I got cash stashed in the back. There's over 30 colors. I have a blue one right here. The wallets have over 50,000 five-star reviews. The durable material means each wallet comes with a lifetime warranty. The Ridge team is so confident that you'll like it. This is crazy. That they'll let you test drive one of these wallets for 45 days. You can send it back for a full refund if you don't like it. It's made with RFID blocking technology that protects you from digital pickpocketers. Crazy that's even a thing now. So on top of all that, great product, money back guarantee, lifetime warranty, giveaway. They're giving you guys 10% off coupon code. Guys, all the info is in the description, including a promo code for 10% off your order. Ridge Wallet, check these guys out. Show them some love. It sounds like just an absolute win-win situation. Now, let's get back to the show.
This is not lightening it up. Yeah, I had a Bored Ape that was stolen about 6 months ago. I was a rookie in the NFT world.
Mm-hmm. How much was the Bored Ape? This is all public. It's not like you can't. I know, well, your Bored Ape is public.
Not everybody knows how to go on a Etheriscan and find out the details. I don't want to
more
offer
people
them
know how to hawk your Bored Ape than they do to buy one.
Maybe somebody can get it back. Anybody out there?
Yeah, maybe.
So Shay buys a Bored Ape.
I bought a Bored
Ape. I finally get a Bored Ape.
At 48 ETH, I think I paid.
Okay, and ETH was not where it is now.
No, I think it was a little higher, actually.
No.
I think it was like 3,500.
Yeah, so 3,500 times. Yeah, 40, you do the math.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's why I brought you a ledger. You're laughing at me. Go get your ledger. Let's talk about cold wallets. So here's what happened. Somebody hacked a verified Twitter account that had like 150,000 followers on it. They turned it into the other side Twitter account. They made it look just like the other side, which is Yuga Labs, which is, you know, the creators of Bored Ape Yacht Club. So this is a verified Twitter account that looks just like Yuga Lab. Like I said, this was 7 months ago. I didn't have a cold wallet. I still had all my stuff on a hot wallet.
There's traps laying everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And this is a warning.
You clicked one wrong thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's all that happened.
Yeah.
This person who hacked this Twitter account, they tagged every single person who owned a Bored Ape. And this was right after the airdrop came, after they gave ApeCoin to everybody that owned a Bored Ape or a mutant or whatever, or a dog. So I see this Twitter feed and I'm tagged in it and there's all these other people tagged. It's a verified Twitter account. I'm like, oh, they're doing another airdrop. Sweet. Click. Gone.
That fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened, dude?
I didn't know that it happened right at the time. I was in the airport. I was in the Salt Lake City airport. I was just coming back from LA or some trip and I'm sitting there after my flight just thinking I'm getting some Ape coin for free.
Yeah, dude. You're like, heck yeah.
Yeah, if it sounds too good to be
true.
Glad
I invested.
So then I'm driving home from the airport. I'm headed, you know, to Idaho. And so I'm friends with a bunch of people in this Telegram chat. And I start getting these messages like, dude, did you sell your ape? I'm like, no. And I'm this guy who is a good friend of mine. Like, he watches all this stuff. I'm like, no, why? He's like, dude, your ape just went out of your wallet. I'm like, what? And I'm going 80 down the interstate talking to him on the phone. I'm like, are you? And I'm like, trying to look. I'm like, are you serious? Like, what's going on? So I pull over and sure enough, I go look at the history and it's like in somebody else's wallet. And I'm like, what is going on here? And so I message the guy. I mean, the FBI was involved. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's big money.
Yeah.
That's big money, yeah, man.
And so it's frozen on OpenSea. Like, it's not frozen, but it's marked as like suspicious content. And I had to fill out a whole FBI report and everything. So
the
goal
is to get this thing back.
I would love to. Yeah. Bring the ape home.
Technically, you own it.
You can get a Tiffany's necklace made out of your ape now.
You could have just put it in my wallet if you really wanted to get rid of it.
I'd rather it be in your wallet than whoever's wallet it is in right now.
I don't know. You might get it back easier with their wallet. I don't know. Anything else in the NFT world? I haven't spoke about NFTs for a while. I dabbled in it. Had fun with it.
I bought one of your NFTs.
You did? I would in the future like to revisit that world. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed buying them. I know both of us bought.
You're talking about
Atom Bombs.
Atom Bomb Squad, yeah.
I still believe in that project.
Have you told people about your helicopter?
I have.
I just was going to say, anyways, you want to cut this part out?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So Roman went on a little helicopter ride this morning, and you had your Atom Bomb Squad little satchel in the back. I'm like, oh, you got one of these?
Heck yeah, dude.
But
I love Atom Bomb.
Hundreds.
Fun project.
Bobby Hundreds. Shout out, Bell.
Yeah,
shout out,
Bobby. Fun project. I still want to do a Smile More collab with them.
Ooh,
you know, the smiley face.
Cool.
With the
dude.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's like one of my favorite bombs is their smiley.
I can make some connections. Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah, yeah, you have those. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I like the project. I'm a whale holder, dude. I have 30 of them.
30 things. Of Adam Bomb Squad. He's a whale holder. It reminds me of early YouTube, honestly. Like just NFTs in general.
Yeah.
Like just this new exciting way of digital IP ownership on a smart contract where you can prove that you own this piece of art.
Yeah.
It's like a non-fungible one-of-one thing that through the digital contract, it shows that you own it. And it does. It has that same vibe of early YouTube days.
It has that same vibe of like weird, don't get it.
Like what?
Like even listeners right now are like, dude, shut up.
Yeah. NFTs, I'm like, no one wants to talk about NFTs.
We're like, you're like in the bottom of the wave right now. Like,
bear
like
market.
It's faded. Everyone's like, BS. I think there'll be another wave that comes.
Yeah. I think so.
And people will start to understand that it is not going anywhere. Maybe it's not going to be a little art. Maybe it's going to be when you sell your home, it's going to be literally on a blockchain and you're going to get 10% every time that thing sells and who knows.
That's what I wish people understood more about NFTs and smart contracts and all this stuff is it's not just little pictures of monkeys.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Dallas Mavericks at their basketball game, every ticket that you buy is an NFT that mints when you go in to the game. And so then if something crazy happens at that game, somebody goes off for 100 points, you have the NFT, you have the ticket that proves I was there that night at this game.
Yeah.
People's medical records, you know, just like you were saying, like
little things like that, you know, it's going to come.
Once it becomes
more secure.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't trust it that much.
I hear you.
I mean, I heard people have had their Bored Apes stolen.
Shut up!
It's funny we're doing
NFTs are a scam, bro.
Hey!
NFTs are a scam. So you guys are obviously together, look happy, following you on socials. You guys look happy unless it's one of those like, hey, cameras are rolling, everybody smile thing.
No,
you guys are good.
We don't roll that way anymore.
Yeah. I used to love when you did that because it's so true back in the vlog days. You're like, we're about
to film. Once in a while.
Clean the house. Everybody's happy. Let's roll.
Stop arguing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you stop crying.
Yeah.
I think we're more real now than we've ever been.
Are you guys living together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Because for a while you weren't.
No.
No, we were, I don't know how long.
A while.
Yeah, it was a while.
And that's, so we've started making vlogs again and that everybody's like, what happened to the big house? It's like, well, you know, I was up in that house and Colette decided to move to town because, you know,
kept the big house.
She left the big house.
I gave it to him.
You take care
of this. It's like, I don't want to take care of
that. Exactly.
It's like so much.
Mowing and plowing the road.
Yeah.
But that time away, I think, really kind of realigned my priorities. Obviously, it's like, I'm going to lose the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. Like, our family is it.
Yeah.
It's it.
Yeah. And it was a struggle for a lot of years. Like, it's not like we're just, that's okay. Let's just keep going. Like, we struggled a lot. And we still have our struggles. We still fight. We still have our moments. But there's just this level of, we're both committed.
Yeah.
Like, for a while there, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle everything that's happened and everything, you know, that could happen. You know, building trust again is really difficult. Yeah. But, you know, I went through my own journey of healing and of kind of waking up to who I really wanted to be. And little by little, one day at a time is what we say in AA and Al-Anon, one day at a time, I feel like I'm happier than I ever have been. I'm more me than I ever have been. And it's through all the crap that we went through. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, not just in a relationship, but I'm a better person all around. Mm. Like, I know myself. And I trust myself and I choose you, you know?
That's
I choose
amazing.
Him every day.
She's the only person that I'm jealous of in the world. Like, I look up to her more than anybody.
I'm exactly like that with Britt. I she inspires me. I look up to her, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone's heard it a million times. But, like, I'm obsessed with this girl. But it's very inspiring because it's so easy nowadays. Like, divorce is promoted too.
Yeah.
It's like the thing to do, dude.
Yeah.
It's cool. Kids will be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a big billboard on the way here, and it was like a sign for divorce, and it was like two wedding rings. It was like OOP, oops, you know, and it was like,
geez, oh my gosh,
giant ad for like, call us 1-800, get a divorce, God, talk to Larry, 20% off.
I think what people don't realize though is like I kept thinking, like, who am I going to find that I have this with, mm-hmm. you know, like there's power in pushing through, mm-hmm. empowering through, and not just a power mm-hmm. through that's like, I have to deal with this, but like, I'm a personal empowerment coach now.
That's amazing.
Almost mastery method certified. And because I feel like I've gained this personal power of like choosing my life that I feel like I had before, but I'm owning it now. And like, I choose him. Like, what are we? Where else are we gonna find this? We're freaking amazing together.
We should have got y'all remarried today. You know? Look at this, man! Y'all making me tear up.
I love you.
That's pretty heartwarming, man. I know. There's so many listening right now, struggling in a relationship, and it is hard to call. I was married before Britt. Like, it failed, and it's hard to call. Like, what's the right move?
Right.
It obviously was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really hard to call sometimes.
And there's no judgment if people got a divorce. Like, there's certain people that maybe need a divorce.
There's absolutely reason for it.
Yeah. If I think we could see that we were both willing to try.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a relationship with somebody that is just like, accept me for who I am or leave. It's like, well, sometimes if you're not willing to grow, then maybe it is a good time to, you know, split ways.
But marriage is teamwork. Yeah.
Totally. There's so much more that goes into it. than people imagine. Yeah. And I think the main thing is like learning how to be solid with you.
Yeah.
Like you taking care of you and learning how to accept another person's like live and let live and then choose like, do I want to be with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And maybe it's a one day at a time.
I love her confidence, dude. Yeah. She is like,
her emotional intelligence is off the charts.
I've never heard Britt say, I choose you, bro. Like that.
It's one day at a time. Tomorrow.
Hey, you know what? We do what we need to do.
Maybe tomorrow.
Daggone, man. That's beautiful.
Well, and that's the thing in relationships is that's what you have. Like, it's not always going to be like, oh, eternity. We're just going to be perfect together. Mm-hmm. No, you have to fight. You have to fight for yourself first.
There's a lot
and then you fight for each other.
You know, I believe in a lot of invisible demons going on, like a spiritual warfare behind the scenes. And you absolutely got to fight for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys are pushing through and proving yourselves right now in my eyes. And, you know, I don't want people to think this is just about some text messages either. You guys have a lot of other things that made this happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
got history.
Yeah. So, you guys are rock stars, man, and your family is stunning. I looked up to you guys so much, just as, like, there's literally no Roman Atwood Vlogs channel without the Shaytards.
Yeah.
It wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm. I don't know
it seriously wouldn't exist because I remember being the biggest prankster on YouTube, you know, between a couple of us. And that's probably all I would have done. And I would have made a little bit of money and it would have faded and that was it. But the Shaytards, the Charles Trippies, the Jesse Wellens.
Yep.
We're like, this is what you need to do. And I was like, well, we can try it. And then boom.
That was, you know, because we talked about, you know, having the five kids going through all this. That's why the vlogging was so great for us is because like we could spend time with our kids while
stay
we do
them.
This. Yeah. And give them experiences and show them things, introduce them to people that they never would have met otherwise. You know, so it's been, I mean, we have had so many cool experiences and met so many people that I'll be forever grateful for YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And for her letting me, you know, it was always like, babe, okay, now hear me out. I met these guys on the internet. We're going to move our family to Los Angeles. I know we don't have any money.
Time, literally.
But we got the steak sauce. And they're going to pay us to eat it. And then we're going to go live there and make videos that we put on the internet. It's like, what?
It actually sounds like every YouTuber buddy I know.
Yeah.
Like that's what we all did was something so bizarre.
It's like you have to be willing to take risks.
Big risks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most all of us started with no money.
Yeah.
So it's like you creep that snowball, get it rolling, and then.
I mean, we were broke. Like her dad was a potato farmer and he's in a bluegrass band. And my mom was a secretary and my dad works at a semiconductor plant. You know, it's like we didn't come from any wealth or means or anything like that.
Waited tables to get through college, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, we learned how to stay out of debt. That was one thing that helped us follow these dreams and to like really risk it is by not borrowing money and just kind of living a cash-based lifestyle where if you can't afford it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't.
Yeah.
You
know. We've been very strict on that. Every purchase is cash for us. Yeah. If we can't pay cash, we shouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Which is wild because I remember sitting at our first home, looking over at the neighbor's house in a very modest, small home, thinking, how does anybody ever get to that? Right. And it's a very just modest home. Right. And now I'm in our home with our things that we've purchased and own and our family. And I'm like, what the heck happened? Like, what happened? Because at that time, I really had no clue how you ever own a home. Like, how do you ever own a home? Like a home with a couple bedrooms. Like, I never could comprehend how you could get that far.
Yeah.
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 You know, it's mindset too, though. Yeah. It's mindset. Like we put ourselves against these walls, but when we can expand, like what's capable? I remember when I was a jewelry salesman, and I don't remember the company, but they were like, "You can make $30,000 a month," and we're like, "What?"
That would
like
be
just
insane.
That idea. Like you start playing with that idea and making it a possibility. Your beliefs change. You uplevel yourself. It's powerful.
You have, we all have limiting beliefs on what we think our life can be. A researcher did with some monkeys, and he had a bunch of bananas on top of a ladder, and he had five monkeys, and they were in this room, and he was, you know, observing them. And one of the monkeys would try to climb up to get the bananas, and every time it did, the guy would spray him with cold water. And so it, you know, jumped down, and they kept doing this. And it got to the point where when a monkey would go up to get the bananas, the other monkeys would pull him down and beat him up because they're like, don't touch the bananas or we'll get sprayed. And so then he kept replacing, he'd bring a new monkey in. He'd take one of the old ones out and bring a new monkey in. And after a while, basically he'd replaced all of the original monkeys that he had sprayed and he didn't spray them anymore. But they had been conditioned to not
climb
go up
the
to the get the bananas because they were going to get sprayed. None of these new monkeys had ever been sprayed, but they had learned from the monkeys in the past that if you go up there, you're going to get sprayed. None of them had ever seen it or witnessed it, but they still were conditioned and learned from this past society of monkeys. You know, speaking of monkeys, I lost my bored ape.
Dude, are we going to get this thing back, bro?
Yeah, I did just see that study.
There is insane. You know, these limiting things that happen in society where, you know, the grass that grows higher gets cut down first, and we don't feel like we can achieve great things because there's this cap. But there's not, really.
There's not.
What you can, you know, envision and imagine.
Yeah. There's not. Even on YouTube, dude.
It's all in your brain.
It's crazy every level that we've seen. Like, the Jesse Wellens was the biggest absolute. If you could hit a million a vlog, you were skyrocketing.
You did that.
But then we were getting 5 million a vlog, and we were like, what's going to be next? Now you got guys who 20, Mr. 30, Beast. 50 million.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Trahan.
It's unbelievable.
And it's like, what's the next one?
Yeah.
They're going to be doing 100 million, 200 million.
And see, when it gets to that point, I don't want to say that maybe I have a cap on myself. I'm like, that just seems like too much. Like, I don't want 100 million views
a
video.
We're old and boring.
I know. It's like, old it and boring. Seems like so
we,
much
we
pressure.
We talk about this all the time. We are so happy where we're at.
Yeah.
Like, right. We are. It's so fun.
Listen to me say, I don't want 100 million views.
we are happier now. I know it sounds cheesy, but when we were doing 5 million vlog, it was an absolute headache.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of problems in our life around it.
Right.
Crazy. Now it's chill.
Yeah.
Like, we're just chilling and we're having fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun now.
And we've talked about, you know, the money aspect of this, but that is the reason that we've kept doing it. I mean, I'm 42 years old. Being a YouTuber is the longest job I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 15 years now. And we wouldn't do it if we didn't love it.
Yeah.
If we didn't feel like we could make a difference and help inspire people to smile more and whatever, you know.
Dude, I don't know if you must have had this conversation, but we legit just almost fully retired. We just were going to just call it. We were going to, you know, we had to leave YouTube for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we almost just chose, like, life's good. We're good. Let's just call it. But because we love it, and this is so fun to me.
It is.
This is fun, dude. Hearing about you losing money is a blast, bro. But like, there's just a part of us. It's like a wheel in motion stays in motion.
Yeah.
I can't sit still that long. And you lose that, like, what am I here for?
Right.
When we're off the internet for a year, it was weird. I felt useless.
Right.
Like, I had nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. I felt the same way because I'm like,
and I'm not good at anything, by the way. YouTube was my only hope, right? I can't build something out of wood. I can't go make the chicken coop better. I can't do anything, bro. This is my only thing that I've managed to find. So without it,
who are you?
I can only watch so many movies. I can only play so many games from, like, I am wasting my life.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that bigger purpose? Like, that's the way I look at it, is not even just because it's fun. Like, I look at how many voices, like, how many people do we get to have connection with?
Mm-hmm.
So many. Mm. Like, what do I want to put out there in the world? It's just, it, I don't know, it makes me excited. Like, what are we going to leave when we leave? Yeah. Like, to me, it's a legacy of, like, spreading hope, spreading that idea that, like, you can have whatever you want in life.
Yeah. Well, I think that's another issue with YouTubers is we're taking all the workers out there.
Yeah.
Because they all want to be YouTubers.
That's the study they're saying now.
100 times the money. And, you know, mm-hmm.
We got to wait 3 months on someone that can do woodwork because there's no one that does it.
Yeah. Nobody wants to.
Even right now.
It's definitely
a. Imagine another 20 years.
Look what you did. Look what you did.
It's weird. It is, because it's like everybody wants to be famous or maybe have their 15 minutes of fame, but that can't happen, right? If you go, before the internet, it's like celebrities were celebrities because you rarely saw them. Mm-hmm. But now it's like everybody's famous in a way. You know, everybody wants to make money on the internet, where I don't think everybody's going to get rich and, be super successful on the internet. But I think there's a large group of people who can make a living based off of creating content of whatever. Like, yeah. I've seen, woodworking YouTubers and people who, like...
Oh, there's a niche for everything.
There's
an eyeball for everything.
We had a leak in our waterfall, and I'm like, how do you fix a waterfall? I find this guy who he vlogs him fixing waterfalls.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And he just goes, he's like, hey, here's the product I use. Look at this waterfall. Oh, look at this beat out sandstone. It's falling at a 30-degree angle. I'm like, this guy knows waterfalls.
Yeah.
And he's making YouTube videos. It's like, who would have thought that a waterfall repairman could make some money? And he was getting like 50,000 views a video.
And you can learn everything now.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. I go to YouTube. Yeah. Everything.
That's the thing. Is like, you don't have to be on YouTube either. It's like, just do what you love. Find your scope of genius. You know, it's like what you love and what you're good at, and marry the two.
That's when golden. That's when it is the best. And I think that's why we all had the success we had. Is it was us. Mm-hmm. The guy making waterfalls isn't trying to make drag racing videos.
No.
He's making waterfall videos. That's what he loves. Yep. And whoever watches. Yep. And that's the separation of people just doing it for money, chasing it. That's where the collapse happens.
Right.
That's why I feel grateful to have started before you could make money on YouTube. Right. I know you did as well.
Yep.
It's like, we're just making videos because of the communication. Our internet was so slow when we first started. I would hit upload, go to bed, and it would take 12 hours or whatever to upload, because I usually sleep 12 hours a night. And I'd wake up in the morning, and I was like, what the comments? There'd be like 4 comments. I'm like, babe, Joe in Ohio thinks I'm funny.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's
that,
like,
was my account, probably.
That was you.
You're just Joe.
Your burner account.
Joe Ohio. Yeah, dude. You know what's crazy is, how long did we do YouTube with no internet? Our home didn't have internet, remember?
Mm.
It was a couple.
Oh my gosh,
it was like 2 years. I would upload at the rope factory.
Oh, so my gosh.
During work, I would upload. Yeah. Yeah, no internet for like the however long we lived there.
It was
years.
A while. A
couple years.
And then we had like satellite internet, which was terrible.
It was even worse.
Mm-hmm. Now internet's like, you can get 100 download easy.
You just.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Yeah.
You just hit upload. What's next? What's next for the Shaytards?
Well, Colette mentioned, what did you, I call it a life coach, but what a personal.
Personal empowerment coach is kind of my niche.
You're up for hire? Like, people can join your class? Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
No. I'll be certified in December. And
is it
launch.
Is it for everybody, or is this like a women's empowerment?
I haven't totally defined my niche yet.
Okay.
But usually women are the ones that come to me. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we moved back to Idaho, I invested in a ski mountain, and that's my passion. I grew up skiing, and this is the local hill that I grew up at. And so...
How cool is that?
It's a dream come true. Yeah. Like, when I was in high school, I remember we had a teacher that gave us a map of the United States and said, okay, everybody put your pencil on where we live.
okay, on the count of three, I want you to start drawing something. Or I want you to start traveling somewhere. She's like, one, two, three. And I was like, I'm going to Colorado because I wanted to be a professional skier when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to own my own ski shop. I want to sell skis. I want to like be in the ski industry. And so then YouTube came along and all that stuff happened. And so then we moved back to Idaho. I was like, I can invest in the ski mountain I grew up skiing at. Like this That's was the place cool. I went to yeah. since I was a kid. So I've spent a lot of time at the ski mountain. You know, it's been 7 years now. Learned a lot about chairlifts and cats and
that's so cool.
I've never felt like a weatherman more in my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm always tracking the Doppler and the people are always asking me, when's it gonna snow? I'm like, I don't know. I want it to snow a lot.
It's so therapeutic though.
Yeah. Skiing.
And all your kids are so insanely good.
They love it.
You guys are doing flips.
It's fun. Really. Yeah. So cool. They're like tiny, just going down by themselves. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'll blow my back out so fast.
That's probably one of up there in the echelons of my greatest achievements is teaching my five kids how to ski. That's
and awesome. Me.
And Colette, yeah.
Yeah, he taught me how to ski.
Because none of them really could ski. And now we ski as a family. And those moments when the seven of us are together on a run and everybody can hang and we're not waiting for somebody and somebody's not complaining and we're all just vibing, hitting the flow
That's
state.
That's very cool.
And we're all just cruising down. Everybody has their, you know, music in. That's those are the moments that I live for.
That's
it's
cool.
like, this Aww. Is what I want in life.
Yeah, and you've earned it. You've earned it. And when you were going down that mountain, you know that.
Yeah.
It's like, we got here.
It takes a lot of patience to teach little kids how to ski.
Oh, I'm sure.
And me.
You did great, though. Colette, did, she was a quick study.
Yeah.
Well, I angry skied.
She chose you, bro. All them instructors. She chose you.
Hans, though. It's freaking Hans, dude. He's so good looking.
Long blonde hair.
Yeah. I take you your ski lesson now, Colette. That's my Hans impersonation.
Is there a real guy named Hans?
No, I made it up. Just, there better not be. Is there a Hans? There's a Franz.
A Franz?
Hans and Franz. We here to.
Franz sounds like no threat at all.
Hans, though.
Hans is
He's
a
got
problem.
His Hans all over her.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, Hans
Where
is a problem.
Where are we going?
I don't know. We're going skiing.
This is what we think you guys are doing.
We do have to bring Kane out skiing. He's been dying to go skiing. And here it's like a hill.
Yeah, I promised him last year we were going skiing.
Come. Never went.
Broke my promise.
You gotta come to Idaho.
You gotta come.
He's made me pay for it too.
Has he?
Yeah.
How?
I hate lying to my kids.
Yeah.
I literally promised him, like, dude, we're going skiing. I promise.
And
in my head, I was going skiing with him.
Mm-hmm. It snowed like 2 times.
Dude, you just come to Idaho. You don't have to do anything. I got the equipment. I got everything. I got the trainers. I'll get Hans on the hill. We'll get him on skis ASAP. Has That's he skied awesome. Before?
Yeah, once.
He tried.
Yeah, we went up to our little hill. We just got like little hills here, but for us, they're actually pretty big. Like they feel big. Yeah.
Our the place we ski is steep. We say if you can ski at Pebble, you can ski anywhere because it has a steep pitch to it. But we do have flat areas.
Yeah, let's
have,
go there and train the kids. That sounds
we have
sounds
runs. Nice, we have the green circles where we can teach him and he can hang with the boys and they learn faster when they're with other kids. Because we have a lot of ski lessons that we do up at the hill and we require the parents not to be there. Because if the parents are there, the kids are going to whine. Yep. They're afraid.
Like with everything.
Yeah. If they're with all of their peers, they learn so much, like almost double, because they're like trying to keep up with the kids their age.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so they learn a lot quicker.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is anything else you guys want to share or chat about?
I feel like we've talked a lot about us. I want to know more about how you guys
are doing. This ain't your podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm turning it back on you. So. And cut.
Roman, I'm sorry.
You gotta subscribe to hear more about us. All right.
That was good. That was
funny. Just saying.
Just more about what if you could ask us one question, what would it be?
Do you have one?
You're the one that brought this.
You look like you're like, okay,
you look like you were queued up. You look like you were queued up. You had something ready.
Are you guys done with having babies?
Done.
I hope so, bro. I hope so.
See, he's opposite.
I know you picked up my little boy today. You're like, we need another.
I told Colette.
I'm like, I want another one.
You could borrow him as long as you want. Just bring him back at like 5.
5 p.m.
5 is my favorite. No, 5 years old.
Oh.
5 p.m., bro. You're keeping him till 5, bro. All right. These new kids are on another level, dude.
Well, this is what I was thinking the other day. This generation of kids is unlike any generation of humans ever because they will have been the first generation to have these smartphones in their hands from like day one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of information, the internet, like this new generation is going to be vastly different, I think, than previous in the species of human existence.
Yeah.
It's going like this.
Yeah, we're not far off from only hanging out with friends online. Very close to that.
Yeah.
How weird is it if a family member just shows up at your house? No text, randomly. No call.
I don't think happened in years.
Right.
Years.
Right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't long ago. That's what you had to do.
That's what you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Now why didn't you text me?
Right.
What, would you just show up at my house? Right. Dude? This is my private spot.
That is weird. And so I think sometimes I worry about the internet when it seems like it's there to connect us. It's actually maybe separating us a little bit.
Right. You
know? Yeah. Well, we're closer to people further away from us. Yeah. We're further away from people closer to us.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good quote.
It's like, I mean, the games are so fun now. All your friends are on Discord. And it's like you have no reason to go out and hang out in person.
It's hard. The kids have lost their iPads for a few weeks. And I feel bad Kane hasn't talked to his friends.
Right.
Should have got real friends, bud. She got real humans.
I don't know what they think.
Real humans come over and ride bikes. I'll show you how to ride that thing one day.
If you want a friend to come over and play, that's great. But
yeah, it's actually it is a different generation.
Yeah,
that's why it's hard. It's a struggle, but we try to take the devices away at night. Like our two younger boys, the teenagers. That's kind of, I think, at a lost battle at this point.
Yeah, well, they're in it.
Yeah.
They're in it.
But the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old, it's like, okay, every night at 11, you turn your things in, and then you can't get on them until 11 o'clock the next day. Well, summer, at least.
Summer's 11. Yeah. You don't go to bed till what?
That's the other battle, too. It's like, my kid wants to live it. We took his PC out. He has no computer. It's been a month or two. Oh, no, beginning of summer.
Yeah, it's
like
been
once
a while.
School went out, we took his computer out. No computer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a double-edged sword because his future is computers, 100%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's such a balance.
He was just living on it. He didn't want to eat. He would, I'm just like, it's making you insane. It's making you crazy.
Oh, it makes him crazy.
It's the new addiction.
It is very addictive.
It's like...
And highly designed to be that way. Yeah. These games are so good and like it just triggers the brain. It's like candy.
Yeah.
It's like brain candy.
Yeah. That's one concern I have with NFTs and like the metaverse is like we're going so deep into the internet, we're going to forget that we actually have skin and bone bodies, you know, like the WALL-E scenario where we're just these blobs and chairs that is pneumatically being fed and just consuming content.
Dude, WALL-E was so ahead of the curve, dude.
Honestly.
How did WALL-E get away with that?
Dude, science fiction.
First of all, how did WALL-E get away with that movie, dude? It's just a bunch of fat Americans rolling. They can't even walk anymore.
Drinking
they're just drinking soda all day. I'm like, I couldn't make a video like that.
Truth hurts.
Dude. Yeah,
you said it.
That's wild. But that movie's ahead of the curve.
Sci-fi becomes actual science, like technology.
It's like Surrogates with Bruce Willis. Was it Bruce Willis? Surrogates?
Surrogates.
It's just basically when we all become...
You like go into your chamber and go into your online.
You're all living a virtual world.
Or Ready Player One.
Yeah.
I just read that book.
I love that movie, though.
It's really good.
Yeah. Took place in Ohio.
Did it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Columbus,
Ohio. You're right.
That's for the tax credit.
Okay.
Columbus has one of the biggest movie tax credits.
Oh, it does.
That's why a lot of times in TV shows and movies, you'll just hear them say Ohio.
Really?
Really?
There's a big tax credit here.
Wow.
For Hollywood.
Interesting.
So if you want to shoot a movie, you get a bigger credit doing it here.
Ohio. Okay. Yeah.
Good to know.
So if you want to do that in the future.
Well, I do have my question ready when you guys are ready.
All right, let's go.
Oh, gosh.
I choose her. All right?
I thought it was if we were having more babies.
Be nice.
That was an easy no.
No, my question is just one piece of advice. Like, what have you guys done to keep your relationship solid?
More sex.
Oh, dang.
Hey, now.
That is definitely one of them.
That's just always my go-to.
That's for him. That's my make him happy.
That's always my go-to. That's always my go-to when somebody asks that. Because I think it's underrated.
Right.
What, sex?
Is it fully true, though? Do you think that...
Here's what I think. I think that if you want your man to get as much done as possible for the day, you got to kick it off right.
Okay, you got to start the day off right. But that's okay.
Right?
I think that for me, at least, there's a lot of buildup without sex. A couple days goes by, 3 days goes by. The brain starts churning, man. I'm stressing. I'm the chemical release that I get with you. I can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah,
and it's just being a man. We're animals.
You're right. And we've learned a lot about that, like expectations about sex, about how men are different than women, about how, you know, like What was the book you read that Dr. Laura?
They Were Not Ashamed.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. Yeah. It's a book about, you know, marital relationship, intimacy and in marriage. And yeah, there's such a balance to it though, because it can't just be more sex.
No, of course. Mm-hmm.
It has to be like the way that we connect and communicate as a couple. It's very, very important to make sure you're nurturing the woman's part of it too.
Let me break down more sex. The emotional connection, the act of it is what gets me. It's not the sex part.
Yeah, right. It's not about just like, I want sex.
It's the only time that there's a real like connection.
It's an intimate, yeah. I mean, you're looking in each other's eyes. It's very intimate. It's very personal.
Why are you looking at me right now like that? Dude,
I'm not looking away.
You blinked. You blinked. The whole podcast. You're like,
we're looking
at each other.
Where am I supposed
to look? Your face is red.
So intimate.
I don't know how to word this properly, but I'm more motivated on a day that I have the connection. It's not just the sex. It's not it's the whole act of it. Yeah. It's me and your time to be together alone and connect on a different level of intimacy than any other part of the whole day. And that, I'm more motivated on those days. I'm happier on those days. I'm less stressed out on those days. It's just a fact that I can't argue with.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that you said that, because I think a lot of times for a woman, we think, oh, all he wants is sex. That's just what he wants. He cares about my body and that's it.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is that when he acts that way, that's not really how he feels. It's like I frame that in my mind, that it's like, oh, he just wants sex. That's about me, not about what he really wants.
Well, men and women and individuals express and feel love in different ways.
Right.
Like for men, it's a majority of men, feel loved when their woman will have sex with them. Mm-hmm. She feels loved when I will just hold her and I don't need sex. That's when
very difficult.
It's the surrender, though. It's like if I know he wants it. He always wants it. Of course he wants it.
Right.
But if he will just be with me and love without needing it.
You dog you.
No, listen. Everybody.
Listen.
If you don't need it to happen, that's when a woman feels free to choose. And when you can choose it, then it's
when you can
golden.
Choose it,
Am
we
I
ain't
right?
doing it.
I would question that.
So I think what you just said, actually, it's the thought of being wanted.
Right.
Right. And that's where the only place we get it.
Yep. Yep.
Those 2 minutes are phenomenal,
and
dude.
That's what we talk about. I mean, I've said that. It's like, I just want to fill 2 minutes. You can go that long?
Literally. Nobody said a word. I'm like, Britt's like staring straight.
That's a marathon,
up.
Dude.
Jeez Louise. No, it's the act of being wanted. It's like, I feel like I was wanted.
Totally.
And is that a guy thing? Like,
yeah, because we're so physical. We're
right.
I'm always hugging, loving, you're beautiful all day.
Yeah.
They don't do that to us.
Yeah.
The only time we get to feel that is when we're in the act.
But here's what it takes for a woman to get there.
Making babies.
You gotta surrender that.
Mm-hmm. What, I just lay on my back?
I'm learning, dude. I'll send you some tips.
Okay.
I'm learning. If you want more sex, you have to not want sex. I know. It's crazy. But
here's the problem with the cuddling is as soon as I cuddle, I want sex.
Surrender. I tell you, it's an art.
It's
what was your question again?
Well.
No, but I will say a healthy diet of intimacy is incredibly powerful in a relationship, because I believe if that goes, the relationship goes.
Yes.
Yeah. Period.
For sure.
Nobody's going to argue with me on that.
For sure.
No, I totally agree with you.
But I mean, the relationship doesn't necessarily go away, but it becomes stale and cold, and people sleep in separate beds,
and there's no connection.
Resent each other, and there's all that kind of stuff, you know, and they stay together just for whatever reason.
The kids.
It's when your souls plug in, dude. Haven't you seen Avatar, bro?
I love that. Yeah. New one's coming out in December.
The thing
that's
is,
what
I,
her
so,
hair and my beard. That's what.
That's the thing is, there's so much nurturing that has to happen to get to a healthy dynamic of that.
That's my version of it. There's we could go on for days about that question though. Like we have.
How do you keep your relationship?
Yeah, you know, for us, we do everything together. We're going to the gym together. Yeah. We're a team.
Totally.
Teamwork.
Yeah, I think being a team is the main thing. When I feel like I'm doing everything by myself, the last thing I want is to connect. Just like, no, you're not helping me here. I'm not going to help you there.
Dang.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
You want to feel supported.
Let me help you, right now.
Let me take these kids
for an hour. I just can't believe you stare at her like that, dude.
Yeah.
She winked at me.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you want to feel supported. You want to feel cherished. Mm-hmm. You want to feel like...
You're a queen.
Yeah.
You're a queen.
Yeah.
If your man ain't treating you like that, that's a big problem. Right. I try to do that.
I'll tell you the number one thing, though, for me was like nurturing that in myself. Like not just needing to get that from him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nurturing that in myself.
Yeah, that's why I bought a helicopter. Just... I gotta do this for me, bro. Yeah. I gotta do this for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's so many times where I was like, I'm just, and then that's like for him too. It's like, he's like, why don't you just go take a bath? I'm like, yeah, that's actually just what I need.
Me telling her to take a bath is like her being like, let's go have some sex.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Seriously. And a bath by myself. Yeah. No one coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, that's such a treat for her.
Right.
Which is sad that that's such a treat. But when you have a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I know.
I get it.
Yeah. When you have a bunch of kids and. Yeah, that's your time.
Mm-hmm.
Your only time.
Yeah,
we've seen a therapist. We have a marriage counselor that we talk to, and so I've learned a ton about codependency, about like, you know, wanting her to succeed without me, being her own person. You know, she started her own checking account. She has her own business. She's going off. It's like I want to be able to be proud of her for doing these things, and you know, that's something that we fought about in the past. It's like, let's do everything together. It's like, well, she wants to have her dreams and I want to have my dreams, and it's cool to grow individually while we support each other together.
I think another big part of relationships is that ability to be happy independently.
Yeah.
Like nobody's gonna ever make you happy. Like you have to be happy
yourself.
Yeah. Like, and even in quote unquote healthy relationships, you need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You really have to provide happiness to yourself. And you have to be dependent on yourself for happiness. I don't believe anybody can make you. They can help you be happy.
Sure.
Yeah.
You really have to be happy yourself.
That's like emotional responsibility. All around, emotional responsibility, personal responsibility for yourself is ultimately what's going to make you the most happy.
You can have it all. You can have all the possessions. You can have all the money. You can still be very unhappy.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to find happiness. That's where you got to, you know.
I think we are overstimulated in our society today. Like I just went camping for 4 days you guys just went camping.
Yeah.
I went with my son Brock. No cell phone, no internet, no running water, anything. It was just surviving. I felt way happier.
Right?
Not having all that stuff. It was like, you know, we went fishing, we made a fire. And when I laid down at night, I was like, I felt accomplished. And all we did was survive,
right?
You know, and it's like, that's all we really need. But we had so much stuff. We have so much, you know, content, just all the stuff that's
when you really
us.
Dummy it down.
Yeah.
You're happier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have, the more likely you are to be less happy. I honestly think.
Man, I believe in that with all my heart. Every time we go camping, tent camping.
Yeah.
I think tent camping's so underrated.
It's so agreed. Fun.
Underrated. Mm-hmm. Families need to tent camp together.
And a lot of people have never done it.
I know.
Never. They wouldn't even know how to light a fire, set up a tent, anything.
You know,
growing up where we grew up, it's like we're from the country, you know. So we, you know, the four of us, it's like we know how to camp, you know. But a lot of people, like LA people, it's like you're missing out on something that's like deep down
in
your soul.
Core.
Yeah, like this, like
bones.
We're from the dirt of the earth, you know.
It really is like what humans started with.
Yeah.
And takes you back.
Kind of going back to that.
It's what my ancestors
did. We're camping this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Amazing, guys. Well, we love you. And I am thrilled to see you guys, like, happy. You guys are happy. You guys look happy.
Oh, my gosh.
We're very happy.
You guys look happy.
We have moments where it's like, can you believe we've gone through all this? And I mean, we know each other so much better now after these last
And we have to always remember that life is a living test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we're being tested at all angles. And you guys are getting through a huge test.
We felt that. I mean, when this all went down, it felt like you mentioned earlier, like spirits, like I felt attacked. Mm-hmm. I felt really spiritually attacked. Actually attacked in the comments and stuff like that. it was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And it's been a long, hard road. And it's not like we're on top of the mountain again and we're succeeded and everything. Yeah. It's like life is a journey. Enjoy every day. It sounds cliche, but the secrets to life are hidden behind the word cliche. Yeah. That's my cliche Carl saying. But yeah, I mean, we choose each other. I choose you. Yeah. Thank you for choosing me.
Dang.
And it's like, we'll keep doing that because you might think, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. It's like the 20 years that we've had together, we couldn't replace that.
Irreplaceable.
And so, you know.
Y'all build a lot.
Yeah.
Y'all build a lot. And then you build a beautiful family. Yeah. And that is, that's the real irreplaceable part.
That's the only thing that matters, yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's screw the Bored Ape. Dude.
Yeah.
Screw it.
You got, I have, no,
you got
I've,
Gavin.
I've said goodbye to it. Like, yeah. If I never get it back, it's like, whatever. I don't care.
It's just, yeah. It's just money.
It's just money.
That's the attitude.
Oh, I wish I had money to lose an ape. I know.
You can.
It's stupid.
You can do it. Guys, if you want to save up and buy a Bored Ape and lose it, you can do it. Dream big.
Okay.
One day at a time.
Put your NFTs on a cold wallet off the internet. Ledger. Get yourself a ledger. Be safe out there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We are going to wrap it up unless you guys got any more brain busters.
I
really like the combo.
Yeah,
we have not. Awesome. We have not cut one time.
Really good.
Nothing. Yeah, this you're is right. Raw.
I was super nervous.
Like, I know. I told you to
this
relax.
Is like
relax.
An adrenaline dump for me.
That's awesome.
Because like, I really haven't talked this openly about our whole scenario and situation.
Yeah.
And so, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for having us on. Thank you for picking us up at the airport last night.
Of course.
Thank you for putting us. Fed us breakfast.
Lori,
I've had four of these.
Four of these. I got a piece.
Are we done? So thank you. Thanks for watching.
We love you guys and your family. You. And there's a lot of families that have truly looked up to you and were raised watching you. And so happy to see you guys just pushing through.
Thank you.
It's powerful. It's powerful. It's
and
inspiring.
I'm going to be your first client in December. So let
all
me
right.
know.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. And that's all we got. You're beautiful. One of a kind. Smile more.
I love when you do that.
Woohoo!
Thanks, dude.
That was awesome.
That was so
fun,
so
guys.
Good.
Thank you.
Woo!
Boom. That was awesome.
Boom. Woo. Dang, I choose you.
So good.
You know,
everyone's going to be like, Brittany hates Roman.
This is a dark,
no, I get it.
This is a dark one, but that's probably going to be on